Stampede Blue. What we talking about? Indianapolis, AFC South. Stampede Blue, let's air it out. Fly route, let's air it out. Topics, loaded like offense. Colt-centric, talking about it often. Stampede Blue, let's air it out.
Welcome back to another Stampede Blue Colts cast, ladies and gentlemen. I'm your host, Matt Dainley. Thank you guys for coming back to the show. Colts drop one in week 9, 24-10 to the Baltimore Ravens. Not a consistent game for the Colts on either side of the ball, for that matter. But the Colts, in retrospect, did do what few teams have been able to do in this season, and that is kind of limit what the Baltimore Ravens put up offensively. And naturally, the Ravens were without Mark Ingram. They had a couple other issues offensively, but, you know, really, outside of, you know, a few plays here and there in the second half, the Colts could not stop Lamar Jackson in the open field. They could not contain him, whereas in the first half, they contained him excellently. I didn't really notice a whole lot of difference, aside from the fact that it seemed like the Colts stopped using, you know, a fifth rusher in the hole. And that, I think, ultimately kept Lamar Jackson in the pocket. The Colts weren't getting enough pressure in the second half either, to, you know, for that matter. But in the end, the Colts just simply did not put enough together for four quarters to take care of the Baltimore Ravens when they really had their best shot at doing so, to be honest with you. If there was a game or a week during the year that the Colts were going to beat the Ravens, it was going to be this week. And unfortunately, we didn't see much out of Phillip Rivers outside of a couple drives here and there. You know, the offense was stagnant. The running game was you know, nothing spectacular, that's for sure. But then, you know, the Colts are using DeMichael Harris as a gadget dude now. And, you know, T.Y.'s not on the field, though. I think T.Y., while he doesn't make much of an impact during the game, I think he at least draws some of their top coverage as he has been. But, you know, just mistakes lost this game for the Colts, plain and simple. Jonathan Taylor's fumble return, you know, for a touchdown. Obviously, there's 7 points. You know, the Colts take the momentum right back after forcing a fumble, getting out there, and instead of just taking their sweet time to kind of get themselves back on a roll, because the Colts hadn't had a bunch of long drives in this game, folks. So, I mean, this wasn't like the Colts were just burning it up offensively. They had an opportunity here to get themselves into a rhythm offensively, and they pissed it away because on the very first play, Phillip Rivers is thrown into double coverage and, you know, ends up being reviewed. I think the review was BS, but that doesn't change the fact that it was a terrible throw. It was an interceptable pass. It could have been and should have been intercepted to begin with. So those two led to 14 Ravens points. The score's 10-10. Outside of that, what the Colts let the Ravens offense get earn, at least point-wise, was 10 points. That's pretty damn good. Even if the Colts were a little bit of Swiss cheese in the second half, overall, for a four-quarter game, you gave up 10 points to one of the most potent offenses in the league. You know, at least with, you know, Lamar Jackson back there. I mean, they've carved up plenty of people. They put up almost 500 yards last week against Pittsburgh. So it's hard for me to really knock the Colts for being a little soft in the second half defensively. The whole thing is that the offense just sucks right now, and there's just no other way to say it. You know, like I said, we look at, you know, a couple guys being out. Ashton Doolin's not a big part of this offense. T.Y. Hilton hasn't been productive within this offense. The Colts are really, really missing Marlon Mack, in my opinion, right now, if not anybody. You know, and the other piece of that, too, is probably Paris Campbell. I think Paris Campbell's sorely missed right now, just for his ability to get deep, because the Colts right now don't have a consistent deep threat. They've got some wheels. Marcus Johnson's done pretty decent on some deeper throws and stuff like that, but he's not consistent enough for this to be an every week thing. I think Zach Pascal's been a hell of a reliable receiver, and, you know, I would expect him to probably get a lot more looks going forward. With this receiving core being kind of what it is, Michael Pittman has chipped in and done a pretty solid job. But we saw today, he's not really a deep threat per se right now. That's not going to be his game anyways, but he's an effective piece. So the Colts have a lot missing right now on offense. And not only do they have a lot missing, they just don't have a lot of big playmaking ability. You see Phillip Rivers going deep, and I love that he goes deep. I love that he does that. It's just simply not an intelligent play to do it on first down when you've just peeled the momentum back from a team that was driving on you. I mean, God, then you give them right back the ball right back at midfield. That's just not smart football. It wasn't a good throw, and it wasn't a smart decision. He wasn't open. I mean, we're just, you know, Rivers on the day ends 25 of 43 for 227 in an interception. He didn't get sacked today, which was nice. The Colts offense did a pretty good job protecting him as usual. But even if you look at, you know, I mean, Jonathan Taylor went 6 for 27 yards. That's 4.5 yard average. Okay, that's great. Still only 6 rushes. Wilkins wasn't, you know, number one running back material today. So that's not a thing, you know. But Pittman did lead the team in receiving yards today on 7 targets, 4 catches. Pascal had 5 for 55. And those two have been effective. Both of them had, you know, some long receptions. Mo Alie-Cox had a 21-yarder. Hines had a 17-yard catch and run at one point, which was nice. So, I mean, there's something there. But there's nothing that scares anybody within our receiving core right now. There's nothing, I don't think, aside, you know, and the mental part of what Phillip Rivers does at the line of scrimmage, getting guys where they need to be, all that stuff, that is so valuable. That's the thing, though. When you start throwing picks, that becomes null and void. I mean, it just really doesn't matter because your decision-making and getting the offense set is helping everybody else. Your decision-making when you're going downfield, throwing into double coverage, when you don't have the strongest arm or the quickest, you know, the strongest release, the ball doesn't have that velocity for you to be that mindless with your pass attempts at times. So this was not, like I said, not a good decision. And the Colts are just, they're just kind of struggling all around. They're not running the ball effectively. They don't have a number one receiver. You know, Phillip Rivers was pretty good the last 2 weeks. 6 touchdowns, 1 interception. Before that, guys, 4 touchdowns, 5 interceptions. Today, no touches and an interception. It seems like there's okay Phillip Rivers, but most of the time, the 99% combination here is bad Phillip Rivers and good Phillip Rivers. Phillip does some great things. He's not going to make plays, so to speak. The play is going to have to be there already. The guy's going to have to have, he's going to have to be open. Timing routes are efficient underneath, but when you're trying to put points up and go deep like that, you've got to make better decisions. You've got to be a guy who's hitting it on time and accurate. And be honest, and that was one of the things today. Yeah, he went deep several times. Most of them didn't enter, you know, go into the bad decision category, but he was inaccurate downfield. And that's, you know, another issue. If he's just throwing away from the receiver, that's one thing. I don't think that he was, though. You know, I think that he was throwing to complete the pass. So offensively, the Colts are in trouble, folks. I mean, they just are. They're going to beat some teams that, you know, they probably shouldn't beat, but they proved, the Colts in general proved today that their defense is real, in my opinion. I mean, look at the whole four-quarter thing. Yeah, second half, they weren't great. First half, 55 total freaking yards, guys. I mean, punt, 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 5 punts for the Baltimore Ravens in the first half. That's insane. That's insane. So it's hard to be too upset over this this loss in terms of how the defense did. The offense is the one that really has to pick it up. And right now the offense is nowhere near where they need to be. The Colts need Paris Campbell back. The Colts need a T.Y. Hilton that runs crisp routes and isn't trying to rely simply on his ability to, for his speed, because his speed isn't the speed that got him so many of those touchdowns or so many of those 100-yard games. It's not there anymore. That's just a fact. He's got a groin issue too. So even if he comes back, his speed isn't going to be better. I'm totally convinced that T.Y.'s got to start being more crisp within his route running. He rounds off a lot of routes. I just don't think that you see the top 10, 15 receivers in the league right now running sloppy routes like that. And I'll just call him sloppy because I don't have a better word for it. It's not a dig necessarily. But at the same time, when you typically see T.Y. Hilton wide open, it's either a double move or it's because he's underneath and the linebacker or whoever he's on has sucked back into a deeper zone. So there really isn't, you know, one-on-one. T.Y. Hilton's not winning those battles. He's not this year, not almost any of them. So that's an issue. So even if he does come back, the Colts receiving core is still in trouble. So he's not the savior. That's not to say he won't have a good game occasionally, but I mean, just it's not going to be consistent this year. We're not going to see 3 and 4 100-yard games from T.Y. Hilton, I just don't think, this year. He's kind of shown where he's at in his career this year. So Colts need to do something about that. They're going to have to going forward for sure. But I think they've got a lot of good pieces around them. I think if you look at Pittman in a second year, you know, he would be better. Pascal's continued to be efficient and reliable. I love that. You like what Hines does in the passing game. Both the running backs, Mack and Taylor, are good in the passing game for the Colts as well. You know, and you just, you've got a couple other pieces here. Molly Cox has shown that he's athletic, big, and can catch a ball. It sucked having Doyle go down today, but that's a, you know, it happens. I think that was a penalty, too. I understand he didn't get hit in the head, but the way I see it is that he launched. Granted, did he get off the ground very far, the defender? No, but that was a clear launch with, you know, I mean, and it was intentional to launch, let me put it, or he was intending to launch, excuse me. So that's what I got from that, and I don't understand why that's not a penalty, but... So he got rocked, went out with a concussion. The Colts had some issues with that. Just in general, this is a, I mean, taking all this in, this is the real first test, our first real test, I think, for the Colts. And they're going to have it this Thursday coming up with Tennessee as well, because Tennessee's been hot and cold this year. So you don't know who you're going to get with that. But the Colts right now, I mean, they're going to be playing, what, 5 more divisional games within the last handful of games here, the rest of the season here. So that's going to be the bread and butter right there. The Colts are going to have to win a lot of those games just to make the playoffs. Do I think that the Colts have a shot to do anything in the playoffs? Not at this point. I just don't. I'm not confident in saying that I think that the Colts can win a game in the playoffs. The right matchup might yield a win, but like I said, who's scared of the Colts offense right now? The guy that they brought in to spell Marlon Mack is not showing number one running back features. The Colts don't have Marlon Mack. Their wide receiver core is kind of in shambles at the moment in terms of effectiveness and downfield being able to have all the pieces to having a successful passing game. That's down, you know. So right now the Colts offense doesn't scare anybody. The Colts defense is for real. And if the Colts offense can get on pace for some of these games, then the Colts will win some games. But the thing right now, if you're a Colts fan, is a lot of looking towards the future at the quarterback position. I think I think we should be patient, because I think that you see enough from the Colts to say the Colts will be fine in a health, you know, with the right pieces in there. I think the team has a lot of growing to do offensively for sure, even though, I mean, I love the Colts offensive line. They're not effective this year in the running game, or as effective as they have been, that's for sure. So you kind of want to see what the issues are with that going forward. But just in general, the Colts just did not put it together today. We're going to take a quick break. I'm not going to go through the drives because there were so many punts in this one. And like I said, the Colts really only had, two legit drives in the first half. And in the second half, they only had 2 legit drives. And I wouldn't even say the second one was legit drive, because it was at the end of the game and it was junk. It was garbage yards. So I would say the Colts had 3 legit drives throughout this entire game. So we're not going to go drive by drive, because it's kind of embarrassing to look at the offense and see what they did. Obviously, we talk about, and I mean, the offense was 2 of, geez, I don't know what they were. We'll talk about it on my notes here right after the break. But for now, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back with the rest of the show right after this. All right, folks, welcome back. Let's get into some notes here. We're just going to talk about a handful of things. The Colts, I mentioned before the break how terrible they were on third down. They were only 2 of 12 in this one, which ain't getting it done. Okay, even against a bad defense, 2 of 12 is not going to get it. It just isn't. The Colts were forced into fourth down situation a couple different times. They weren't effective on that in those situations either, for the most part. So, I mean, Colts 1 of 2 in the red zone today. Look at that. It's like, okay, 50%. It's not bad, but they were only in the red zone twice. So one is, you know, okay, I suppose. But obviously you will get in the red zone. You want to put 7 points up on the board. The Colts just weren't able to do that. Mentioned that the Colts defense wasn't great in the second half. even against the run for that matter. So the Colts have to be better than that when they end up giving up, I think, about 112 rushing yards in this one. You know, you look at that and you're like, oh, that's not terrible, but it's not great either, you know, considering that they hadn't given up like, what, 18 rushing yards by the end of the first half. So, I mean, that's something that the Colts need to be a little more, you know, consistent on. But overall, not a bad defensive game as an entire game, you know. Rivers was bad downfield. The Taylor turnover killed the Colts. Obviously, it was recovered for a touchdown. The pick from Rivers was completely ridiculous. We talked about that. I mean, there's a difference between aggressive and stupid. That was stupid, right? I think we can all agree with that. I'm not really ready to throw Rivers under the bus. I don't think that a Brissett is the answer. So let's please not start talking about that. I am only a couple games of more of this from Rivers, though, to be perfectly honest with you, to say, throw it into Jacob Eason's hands. I know a lot of people don't want to do that. I know that a lot of people will say, well, shit, it's a wasted season, or then if you do that. I don't think that it is. I mean, at a minimum, you see what you've got live in game. And if the Colts really, you know, aren't going to play any better than that on offense, I don't think you're losing anything by putting Jacob Eason in there. You may have a lot less. Obviously, you've got a lot less of what the Colts will be able to do at the line of scrimmage with him in the game. But you have to see what you've got. You never know if you're going to find fire in a guy. And I like Jacob Eason a lot. I know that he's definitely, there's no doubt that he's got a lot of growing to do before he can ever become an NFL starter. I have no doubt with that. So let's pump the brakes on what you think you're hearing here from me. What I'm saying is, if we can't get any more than an interception or a touchdown and an interception from Phillip Rivers, and he still is making stupid throws, he's not helpful to this offense. Why? Because this offense doesn't have a ton of playmaking ability as it is. They just don't. Jacob Eason has playmaking ability. Do you catch what I'm saying here? This dude can throw the ball all over the yard. If he comes in and he were, or I'm saying if he were to come in and be better in the huddle than most people would give him credit for coming out of college, was able to control and monitor the offense, was able to make simple changes at the line of scrimmage just to give himself some extra time to throw the ball, you've got so much more arm talent with Jacob Eason. If you get accurate Jacob Eason, man, the Colts could be in business. And I don't mean for the future, but I mean just win some extra games, because some of those plays are not going to be thrown. I don't think Jacob Eason is aggressive enough to throw the ball into double coverage at this stage. I don't think that he would want to do that because he wouldn't want to make mistakes. So you would get a little more reserved Jacob Eason. But here's the thing, man. You get guys open deep, that's touchdown city if he's accurate, for sure, no matter where they're at deep, because he has a flipping cannon, okay? That's just where I'm getting at with that. I just think you add playmaking ability if Jacob Eason ever is to enter the game and the Colts are just continuing to stay stagnant and very average offensively, if not below average. I don't think you're hurting anything, and I get it. It's not going to happen because Frank Reich's not taking out Phillip Rivers to put in Jacob Eason. I totally understand. My point here is simply philosophical in that that is what you would add to this offense, some playmaking ability, in quotes, if Jacob Eason is in there, because right now, Phillip Rivers isn't a playmaker, okay? He's not throwing guys open with his arm, typically. He's timing a large part of it. Man, when he's smart, he's as good a quarterback as there is in the NFL. But like I just told you guys, the first handful of games, 4 touches, 5 interceptions, last 2, 6-1, who the hell is he? More like today, no touchdowns, 1 interception, maybe a touchdown, an interception. He doesn't have 3 touchdown games every week. We know that. We're aware. So that's simply where I'm going with that. I just don't know where the Colts are going to be in 3 to 4 weeks from now. But for example, if, you know, it wouldn't hurt my feelings at all if the Colts are only winning 1, possibly 2 of these games, or 1 or none of these games, actually. I'll say that, because if the Colts go into this like 7-7 or 7-8, even you're a game from the end, man, you throw in Jacob Eason, you see what you've got, give him some in-game against, you know, a division rival at that. So I think it'd be interesting. And I just don't think if Philip Rivers doesn't turn it on in the second half of the season, be smarter. It shows to be more accurate, especially in plays when you can put points on the board deep. Then what are you losing? You know, do you really want to bring that back for a second year? I don't think so. I just don't think you do. So I think that the Colts, one way or another, will find a quarterback, whether it's Eason, whether it's somebody that they pick up in free agency, whether it's another draft pick. I don't know. I'm trying to be patient with it because I see what the Colts are doing here and I love it. But we all know you can't just waste seasons. And right now, it kind of feels like the Colts' season may be going a little south if Philip Rivers can't turn it on, be a little more consistent, and get this offense to where it needs to be. So, like I said, Colts give up 14 points there on those two turnovers, and it's hard to blame the defense. So, I mean, just overall, you look at this game and you think, man, this could have been something pretty solid. And the Colts had, you know, they had enough time of possession in the first half to where they could do something. The problem was in the second half, they didn't get any time of possession. I mean, they basically were dominated by the Baltimore Ravens in that respect. In fact, they out time of possession to the Colts, 33-26, roughly. Two turnovers kills you. The fact that the Colts were getting pressure on Lamar Jackson early in this game was fun. You know, you saw that. You saw that they were kind of bottling him up, and that, you know, that's always fun to see when you see that the Colts are really kind of flying around the ball and doing a lot. I mean, Darius Leonard, another massive day with 15 total tackles. Willis had a good game. Okereke was obviously, you know, a big part of this. Anthony Walker did pretty solid. I think Al-Kadeen Muhammad had a good game, you know, through all this. And, you know, 9 tackles for loss, only 3 passes defense in this game. We've seen the Colts be really good about that, but only 2 quarterback hits on Lamar Jackson. And that's, you know, that's going to happen. But I love the way Al-Kadeen Muhammad chased him down and got that sack. The Colts did pull off 2 more sacks on Al-Kadeen Muhammad. Autry got the other one, I believe. And you look at so much about this defense and you're so happy. And then you just wonder, you know, how many of these guys are going to be back next year? Is this defense going to take a step back? Is it going to take a step forward? You don't know. But that offense clearly needs to take a step forward. This Colts team is just simply not going to cut it when you look at the rest of their schedule of who they've got, you know, left to play. That's the problem. They've got all these division games coming up, but you've also got, you know, a couple big games otherwise. You've got the Colts playing the Packers. You know, the Colts are going to be playing the Raiders later on in the season. The Colts are, Titans Thursday, Packers the following week, back at home against the Titans. The Colts are at home against the Texans. They're on the road to the Raiders. And, you know, then they go to the Texans, and then in their final 2 weeks of the season, they're playing the Steelers 2 days after Christmas, and then they end the season with the Jaguars again at home. These have to be, look, if the Colts lose, let's just say the Colts lose Packers, Raiders, and Steelers in the second half of the season, okay? I mean, there's 3 losses right there, and the Colts are already, you know, 5-6 before you even look at the divisional games. The Colts aren't in the business of sweeping the division like they used to. This just doesn't happen all the time. So, and we see that the Titans are a respectable team this year. Are they they're probably not going to sweep against the Titans. You know, add that to another loss. There's 7 losses. I'm just saying this is more likely. I'm not saying the Colts can't do it. Though, I mean, it doesn't matter necessarily that the Texans are junk this year either. They may split that. There's 8 losses. You know, what are the Colts going to be able to do against the Jaguars? They've already been beat by them. Can they beat them this time at home? I would think that they should. They're really good against the Jaguars at home. Okay, so now you're at an 8-8, you know, team. I just don't think that's a playoff team this year. So why not, if things are heading in that direction? Can't the Colts throw in Jacob Eason? Just saying, just adding that to the end here. But, you know, the Packers, the Raiders, and the Steelers, obviously Steelers are unbeaten. The Packers are no joke, and the Raiders are no joke this year. They got some plays. They got some players, guys. So, the Colts have a rough second half of the schedule, especially for the fact that they played so much of a cupcake schedule in comparison to the rest of the league in the first half of the season. I mean, guys, the Jags and the Vikings, obviously the Colts won against the Vikings, but the Vikings have come back and started to play well. So the Vikings could have just been in a bad slump at the beginning of the year. The Jets sucked. The Bears really sucked when they played them. The Browns were okay. They're back and forth, too. You never know what you're going to get, but they were, you know, effective in that game. The Bengals, you know, for all intents and purposes, aren't a good team. Colts beat them, though. And the Colts, ended up beating the Lions as well. The Colts had every opportunity to beat a downtrodden Ravens team this week, coming off a loss with all their linebackers in COVID restriction and all this other stuff that they couldn't practice. You had Marlon Humphrey not playing in this game. Mark Ingram didn't play. You had a bunch of no-name running backs for the Ravens starting to tear up the Colts defense in the end. You know, the Colts had their best opportunity this week, and it just didn't happen. So I find it difficult to believe that the Colts are all of a sudden going to, you know, go take care of the Packers, or that the Colts are, you know, because if Aaron Rodgers throws three touchdowns and the Colts have a game offensively like today, that's still 21-10 or even just a little better, 21-14-17. You know, the Colts really have to score over 21 to be even competitive in these games. And if their offense can't put up more than 10 points and can't get in the red zone more than twice, or put four total drives, and I'll even say three, like I said, that last drive was garbage time. So you got three respectable drives throughout the game. You're punting a crap ton. That's not going to cut it offensively. It isn't. Doesn't matter how good that defense is. It's just not going to cut it. So I'm not trying to be all doom and gloom here, guys, but this is reality. This is where the Colts are at. And, you know, it's not a happy place. So right now, we don't really know what to get or what to expect from the Colts, but today they didn't have it, and, you know, we don't know what they're going to have the rest of the season. So it's kind of iffy. You know, you wonder what's going on with Frank Reich's head, like kind of where he's at in terms of what do they have to do to get this game going. You know, you want to see Kamoko Ture back in, you know, defensively. Ben Banigou was this kind of surprise scratch today. The Colts ended up having, six? I think they had seven inactives today. So, you know, that's just going to be part of the situation. And T.Y. Hilton, look, man. I mean, and this isn't me cracking on T.Y. Hilton. He's been a good receiver for the Colts. He, in some years, more often than not, he's been very good. Okay? He just isn't effective this year. I want to go through the first rounds and look at all the corners that are drafted. I'm not saying that T.Y. is getting a lot of those guys on him, but the corners have been a highly sought-after position in NFL drafts. Not obviously for a long time, but I'm saying in the last 5 years, it feels like it's been super heavy on those. And T.Y. Hilton is just getting older, and he's I don't want to say an untrained eye, because I was a receiver as well, but you just look at other receivers and how they get through their route, the way that their route tree works, and I don't think you see that from T.Y. Hilton. I'm not saying he's lazy. I'm not saying any of this crap. I'm just simply saying that I don't think he's anywhere in the top 30 route runners in the NFL. I just don't, in terms of technique. I don't think he is. I think he's very good on double moves, but that's because he still has some short area quickness. He's got some long speed too, but that's draining. He's right there on the 30 cusp. Unfortunately, guys, that's old in the NFL. So he's going to have to do something to figure out a way to be more effective. Hopefully he's got that in his brain that, okay, I'm losing a little bit of speed. I'm going to have to tighten up this or tighten up that to keep my career going much past, you know, this year or next. I mean, I think that's a reality. You know, you may call me on it and that's fine. I still think that's where he's at. So, like I said, Colts got to prepare quick, got a Thursday game, got to bounce back from this one and take one, hopefully, from the Titans. Would be an excellent, excellent thing to see, that the Colts could actually, you know, come out of this loss where they didn't have it offensively, put together a solid offensive plan, get the offense humming a little bit, be a little more consistent, longer drives, more sustained, and I mean more quality drives throughout the game if they can do that, because the offense isn't a bad offense. The offense can move the ball. We've seen that. And we've also, like I said, we've seen it from Philip Rivers' arm. So it's not that the pieces can't be positioned in order for the Colts to be successful offensively. Just right now, they're just in trouble. You know, if they don't have that great rhythm, the Colts are in trouble. So a lot to look forward to with this team, a lot to figure out, I think. And I think internally, I think that the Colts right now have to be looking at the offense. Who is what and what is what? And, you know, we'll see what happens, because the Colts may need to try to find another running back, because I just, like I said, Wilkins isn't of number one. He had a good game last week. That was off two runs, guys. Okay. A 15 and a 13 yard run. That was the bulk of his 80 some yards rushing. Okay. Everything else was 4, 5, 6 yards, which is okay. Grind it out, do all that too. But he's not a 90 yard guy every week. He just isn't. Jonathan Taylor's proving he's not, you know. So we're going to have to see what's going on here. The Colts have to kind of go in here and try to tweak some things, I think, and try to figure out what exactly they're getting from their offense and what they need to do to make it better. Defensively, I'm just going to say, you know, hey, in a four quarter game, you look at the stats, pretty damn good. You look how much they gave up in the first half or second half versus the first half, and it may rub you the wrong way, but overall, still a good game defensively, still played good enough to win defensively, in my opinion. Had a big takeaway. It just was nullified immediately and scored upon because of stupidity on the offense. So they have to look at it in every way that you can, because right now this defense is humming. Matt Eberflus has them playing well. They're playing fast. They're playing hungry. The Colts are tackling well. Third and short with Lamar Jackson under center is a near impossible task. Any running back can get that, it seems like, most of the time. You have a smart offensive mind there in Baltimore. And, you know, it's just not something you're going to get very – you're not going to contain Lamar Jackson the entire game. The Colts were lucky to do it in the first half. So looking at that holistically, the Colts were in pretty good shape yesterday. So we'll look forward, guys. We'll look forward and see what the Colts can do. Be interested to see what they can do Thursday night. I think it's a big stage for the Colts. It's only their second divisional game of the season. It's going to be, you know, prime time, so to speak, Thursday night game. Colts got to come through, got to do something. They've got to prove that they're, you know, worthy of any of the praise that they got at the beginning of the year, because right now they're losing a lot of it. So thank you guys all for listening. We'll try to get a second one up the rest of, within this week. Meant to this past week and was not able to do that. That's on me. There was no difficulties or anything. I simply wasn't able to do it. But trying to get two of these out to you guys a week, I really, really am. So look forward to shows from the other guys on the network. Keep it glued here to Stampede Blue. Make sure you check out Stampede Blue for all of your Colts needs, news, and notes. Until then, though, guys, we're going to sign off here. We'll get you another one up. Maybe pregame or something of the sort Wednesday night. We'll see if we can't do that. So we'll take care of that. But Colts 5-3 now. Got to look forward. Try to get 6-3 against a divisional foe Thursday night. Until then, folks, we'll talk to you next time right here on the Colts Cast.